So these last weeks, we've been looking together at what is Jesus for? What are things that Jesus Christ is passionate about, that he teaches us on, that he lives, that he displays as part of his character? And these are things that help us as followers of Jesus know, okay, this is on God's heart, because the scripture says Jesus is the picture, the exact imprint of the invisible God. And so as we get to know Jesus, we get to know what's on the heart of God. So we've covered things in the last weeks like Jesus was for acts of mercy. We've looked at how Jesus was for the poor and the oppressed. We've looked at how Jesus was great at meeting people where they were at and inviting them to transformation. We've talked about how God is for the nations, all the peoples of the earth. And last week we talked about how Jesus is for second chances, for offering forgiveness and a fresh start for us. So today we're going to look at Jesus is for humility. Jesus is for humility. Now I was, looking in the dictionary. What's the definition, right? So the definition that I really liked that I read, on Google somewhere, was humility is being free of pride and arrogance. I really like that definition. That humility is being freed of pride and arrogance. So I think it could be said that humility is not, it is not that you are a doormat in front of someone's door to be just stepped on. Humility is not being insecure about how others see you. It is more an inner posture, an inner attitude that you're not all, what we would say, full of yourself, full of pride and arrogance. But I think the scriptures themselves that we've just had read really help define for us as Jesus talked about the virtue of humility. So we're going to look through those passages. If you have your Bible with you or a Bible app, you may want to flip through that with me. We're going to look first at the Matthew 18 text. So here in this text is Jesus telling a parable of two people who went to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, when the first listeners heard that Jesus was going to teach on prayer and there were two people in the story, the first listeners would have assumed that the Pharisee was the good guy and the tax collector was the bad guy. And so it was a surprise because the good guy was the bad guy and the bad guy was the good guy. Got it? The good guy was the bad guy and the bad guy was the good guy in this story. What? We'll leave that to Rob, maybe. So in this story, the Pharisee prays. And he prays this kind of arrogant prayer, doesn't he? I can kind of picture this religious leader kind of putting his hands like this. Let's see, it's Luke 18, let's see. This is the Luke 5. Go to the next one, I think. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, so he's praying, and he's saying, Lord, thank you that I'm not like these other people. That's his prayer. Thank you that I'm not unjust, I'm not an adulterer, and I'm not even like, this other guy in the room. And then he goes on to tell God what he does for God. I fast twice a week. I give offerings, right? And so he has this prayer of sorts, and yet it seems more that it's kind of like the Pharisee is strutting. Do you know what strutting is? If you ever see someone walking and they're kind of, trying to be cool. This Pharisee is praying to God almost as though he sees himself before God as, he should be in God's VIP club, that he's really important. and he's not like other people, and he's righteous, meaning lives rightly and would be considered, you know, one of the best for God. And that's how he prays. Well, the other guy is a tax collector. Now, everybody who would listen to this story that Jesus was telling would assume the tax collector's a bad guy, because he would have been someone who would have been unjust, who would have extorted money, cheated people for money, because what a tax collector did was take taxes from the Hebrew people and give money to the Roman government and then keep some for himself. And so everybody expected, you know, the tax collector was trash, right? But the tax collector humbled himself. And you see the posture. It says that the tax collector stood far off from the sanctuary, kept his eyes down, put his hand to his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And Jesus ends with the punchline to say, "I tell you, this man, the tax collector, will go to his house justified," meaning forgiven, "just as if I've not sinned, rather than the other." And the punchline is, "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted." So a key to this story is that it's not about how do I look compared to other people. We can always find people who are a little bit worse than us, right? And if that's the mark, we may have reason to be arrogant. But when we pray, when we are meeting before a holy God who is without sin, our posture, our inner attitude needs to be one of humility, which the tax collector was much better at, recognizing that before God, he needed forgiveness. He needed grace. He didn't deserve God's favor, but he asked for it. And so this is the punchline of Jesus teaching about prayer and our attitudes for prayer. So the Pharisee was the bad guy. Now if you look at the Luke 5 passage, it's another story. And again, there's a tax collector in this story. Are you seeing a theme here? The bad guy's the good guy, and the good guys are the bad guys. And here Jesus is calling one of his disciples, and he calls somebody to follow him that nobody would have picked. He calls a tax collector. Some people call him Matthew or Levi, and he invites Matthew to start following him as one of his disciples. And Levi responds by following him and throwing a party. Huh? We're throwing a party. I wish I could juggle oranges. But Levi throws a party for his friends. And who were the tax collector's friends? Well, not other Pharisees, but other tax collectors. So it's a room full of, quote, sinners, bad guys. And Jesus is eating with them and dining with them. And the Pharisees, somehow they must have come close to the house or kind of been keeping an eye on Jesus, you know. I kind of picture hands crossed and looking down. And they must have pulled a couple of the disciples, you know, to the door and kind of were complaining about Jesus. Why is it that Jesus, your rabbi, is eating with all these sinners, these tax collectors? In other words, the tax collectors don't deserve Jesus' company. Why isn't he wanting to eat with us? You see a little bit of pride there in that question? Jesus must have overheard the grumbling, the complaining, because Jesus answered and says, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So here's the kind of the hook here. Is Jesus is basically saying to the Pharisees, what makes you right with God? What makes you right with God is not your genealogy, that you descended from Abraham and you're part of the royal family. What makes you right with God is not if you wear a robe and fast twice a week. What makes you right with God is recognizing your need for God and asking God for help. And so basically, Jesus says to the Pharisees, you don't need God, so I'm not bothered dining with you. I mean, he doesn't say that, but he kind of says that. And so here's kind of the rub, if you will, that comes back to us, right, in our application is the good news is that Jesus loves. You're welcome. The good news is that Jesus loves us. And Jesus has come to save. The hard truth or the hard news is that Jesus offers grace, undeserved forgiveness and favor to those who are willing to humble themselves. So in the book of James, in James it says, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So if you go to God strutting, how does that work? If you go to God recognizing that you have a need for God with some humility, recognizing you're not God, that's when you're ready to receive grace, and I'm ready to receive grace. And, you know, I was thinking about just personalizing that a little bit today and saying, as your pastor, I would say I am someone who needs God. I'm someone who is here before you not because I have it all worked out and all my life is neat and perfect and all together, but as someone who needs grace, God's forgiveness. And because I've experienced personally God's forgiveness and grace, I'm here today happy to share with you about Jesus who extends grace. Kind of like one beggar who found bread and tells all his friends, that's where you go to find bread. And so I think that there's this invitation in this for all of us, perhaps, not just me, to consider what's our posture before God? And is there humility cultivated? And there's a freedom when we enter into humility, recognizing that God alone is God and we are not. And so so one of my points of application here would be for you to search your own heart and ask and kind of search, how are you with the issues of humility and pride? And are there places in your life that you kind of are proud, and that maybe there's a place to grow in humility? The other place that I cannot leave from talking about humility without taking you to Matthew. I didn't put this up on the screen, but in Matthew 11:28, I believe it is, Jesus here gives a personal invitation. And Jesus simply says, come to me, all who labor and who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I am meek and humble. And I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so this passage is really a place where Jesus says to people, I myself, Jesus Christ, in my character, I'm humble. And I love that about Jesus. And Jesus gives this sort of personal invitation, this relational invitation to say, come and walk with me, be yoked with me, learn from me, for I am gentle, I am meek. Meekness is not an absence of power. It is power under control. Meek is power under control. Gentleness, right? How you handle a soccer ball, a football, is different than how you handle a baby, right? Power under control. And lowly in heart, humble, free of pride and arrogance. And you will find rest. Now, that rest is not go take a nap, though for some of you, you'd be happy if someone told you to go take a nap. I would be. But it's a kind of rest, an inner rest, a kind of peace, a kind of deep inner rest. And so Jesus here is giving this very personal, this very relational invitation to those who would follow him. Come and learn of me, and you will learn about humility and meekness, for I myself am these things. And so for another point of application, I would just say, have you considered following Jesus and simply in prayer saying to Jesus, I would like to learn of you. I want to enter into your rest. And I come to you, Jesus, with humility and say, I want to be in relationship with you. And so as we kind of turn now to prayer, I want to invite us to kind of focus on two things. One is kind of this searching our hearts to be, in this case, more like tax collectors. More ready to be honest before God about our struggles in prayer, having attitudes of humility. And so I want to invite us as we begin to pray, just for a moment of silence, if there's any place in your heart where you're like, yeah, there's some pride there, or there's some things that I need to repent of, would you just spend some time in quiet just praying over the virtue of humility and pride?